Oh, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Lovely words that we've just sung, and I didn't realize how much they fit in with what I want to share with you this morning. Abigail said that she got so used to hearing the same things, the same truths, that she became numb to them. And sort of assumed that it applied to her. And I believe what she shared can be true, become true of any one of us. We can hear the same things spoken over so many years that we become numb to the truth, numb to the word of God. It ceases to have its powerful, life, inward transforming power because there is an assumption that we're unaware of that it already applies to me, that I've already applied it, that it's already real in me because I've heard it so much and I assume it applies to me. And in a way, that's what I want to address this morning. Let me just pray. Father, we do thank you for your presence among us this morning. We acknowledge that you are above all. You are the only one. There's none like you. Thank you that we are the true worship, the true circumcision who worship you in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Lord, bless your own word to our hearts according to our need of you individually in Jesus' name. Amen. So we don't drift into Christian growth. You and I, we can't stroll into Christian maturity. It simply does not happen. I can't take, in that sense, things for granted. One doesn't sort of accidentally wander in to spiritual empowerment. There is such a thing, I mean, you've probably heard the expression before, as spiritual disciplines. And I do want to underline the thought, we do not drift into the fullness of the provision of Christ. We don't just stroll into it by having busy Christian lives. I'd like to begin by reading from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. And Paul says this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you no longer walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And that's what I want to work towards, to speaking on being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Because I do not believe we can live Christ's life on earth without spiritual renewing and refreshings repeatedly, constantly, continually. It is impossible to live this life by what we are natural. And here, Paul is speaking to the Ephesians who he knows, who knew God's salvation, who'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he says, I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, don't walk any longer as other Gentiles walk. Simple question, why on earth is he saying that? He is saying that, I believe, for the simple reason that it is possible to do so. He says, do not revert to type. Don't live in a negligent way, negligent of God's word, negligent of spiritual discipline, of having time with God, being renewed in the spirit of your mind and transformed inwardly, so that you revert to what you naturally were and are by nature. That's the exhortation. That you no longer walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. He's exhorting us not to live like that. If I live in vain thoughts, my understanding will be darkened, and it will alienate me from that empowering that alone the Spirit of God gives by me not just living in the Spirit. It says in Galatians 5, if we live in the Spirit, if God has baptized us in the Holy Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us make it real. I will be mentioning a couple of verses that I've mentioned before, but they are relevant to this topic, and I believe they bear repeating with regards to the where he says, don't walk in the vanity of your mind, of your own reasonings, of your own imaginations. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, of mankind. But it can apply to you and me. Verse 21 of Romans 1. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And I have a choice. This came to me years ago. I have a choice in the things that I pass through, the things that face me, the things I might face about myself. I have a choice. God, who's caused me to know him, I have a choice to glorify him, to acknowledge his power, acknowledge his grace, acknowledge what he has done in Christ for me, acknowledge what he has done in me through Christ, acknowledge his sovereignty, acknowledge his care for me, acknowledge his power, and be thankful. All in verse 21, it says, because they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Vain in their imaginations. Not putting my trust wholly in God, not committing my inward being, heart, soul, mind, spirit to him. Not taking his word into account, not taking him into account in the things I'm passing through, I become subject to my fears, my anxieties, cares. Foolish heart gets darkened with all sorts of anxieties and worries. These are the two choices that I see in my life. When they knew God, in their reactions to situations, to circumstances, they didn't glorify him, neither were they thankful. We are to live filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, be filled, or be being filled with the Holy Spirit. This life is impossible without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And I mustn't get numb to this truth. things must be happening in my life. There needs to be a response to God's great work of salvation from me that comes and drinks of him, eats of him, fellowships with him, waits on him, worships him in the secret place, that I become and am renewed in the spirit of my mind to see things totally differently and live differently in my thinking and my reaction to what I pass through and the things I face. The natural man, if I live by what I naturally am, I will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16? He says, Paul says, for which cause we faint not. We don't faint in our minds. We don't panic in our minds. Sudden things don't cause sudden distress and panic and anxiety, for which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. No, if we stop there. If we stop there, we make ourselves numb to the word of God, so used to it that we don't apply it. I'm saying no for the sake of emphasis, because I want to highlight what Paul goes on to say. We don't faint in our minds, in our emotions. Yes, we are tempted. They come to tempt us that way. But we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, while we look at the things which, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I am renewed internally, spiritually, while I am looking at the unseen, at the invisible, at the eternal. Marion prayed, she didn't know what I was going to speak on, but she prayed this phrase, fill our vision, I believe she said this, fill our vision with Christ. Very simple expression. It is the answer. In one way, that expression, in the context I'm speaking, it is the answer to everything. I am renewed day by day by looking at him, by considering him, by considering what he's done, not just as a passing thought, but taking time to be with him. On Friday, I woke up and I was aware, I felt sort of a kind of heaviness and almost wanting to, despondency. And I came downstairs and I thought, why should God be robbed of my praise and worship and love because of how I feel? Mm-hmm. I am not going to analyze this. I'm not going to start questioning where I am spiritually. He is worthy. Mm-hmm. He is worthy. Mm-hmm. I don't care how I feel. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to seek peace, joy, healing, blessing. I am going to thank him And the verse that came, the song that came to me was, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, all ye that are upright in heart, all ye that have made him your choice. Bid sadness and sorrow depart, rejoice." I just sang it. I didn't feel a great gust of emotion. I was singing unto the Lord. I just sang. And I sang something else. And without me realizing it or seeking for it, not only did that aforementioned sort of condition, outlook, if you like, just evaporate imperceptibly, but it evaporated. And then it was like, if there's people talk about a spirit of prayer, I just wanted to pray. I felt this freedom to pray for the work of God, for God's people, for God's work in my family, for his work among us at the church. Just pray. And I suppose the closest I can get to where Paul says in chapter 4 of Ephesians, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." You see things differently. You do see things differently. It's not a mental thing. It's not a mental perspective. Oh, yes, you've explained that well. I can see that. It is nothing like that. It is a transportation into a different realm, the refreshing of the soul, the refreshing of the eyes, a revelation of the, not just a revelation, but a sense of the spiritual blessings whereinto we have been baptized and made partakers of in Christ Jesus, like he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ in the heavenlies." There comes a sense of that. And it left me praying throughout the day and yesterday. Praying while I was walking along, spending time in prayer before I go to bed, just flowing. I am not saying these things as examples of forms to follow or look for. It just happened like that this week. Whether it happens like that or not, we are to know. I am to know, you are to know regularly in your private life, not just when we meet together, not just the uplifting of blessing which God grants when we gather together on a Sunday. We are to know times of renewal and refreshing in the secret place before God. Praise God. Praise God. Not to become numb to these things, so familiar that I take it for granted. I heard someone sent me a sermon to listen to. No one from here. And the preacher began by saying he was challenged because he saw what the scripture said. And then he talked about the space between what the scripture said and where he felt he was at. Not condemned, but challenged. And in that sense, it's not bad to be challenged like that, to be stirred, to come before the Lord, to get before the Lord. This I say, therefore, and testify to the Lord, that you no longer walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Don't revert to type. Don't live by what you're naturally. If I live by what I naturally am, I will react according to my nature. I will fail. Then I'll recognize my failures, the failures that result from living by what I naturally am. What I naturally am will seek to improve my failings, and I won't succeed. I become super conscious of my failings, maybe enter into what people call the miserable sinner syndrome, where I think it's some sort of humility to confess to that. Rise up, O virgin daughter of Jerusalem, and shake off the dust. Present your body a living sacrifice unto him. No one knows the things of God save the Spirit of God. We are called to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, to see things differently, to react differently. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Where these things are opposed and nullified. Because the great battle is in the mind and in the heart. The things that happen, the things that come, the things that are said. And the devil does his work with his fiery darts to create in us, wants to create in us all sorts of reasonings of fear, of worry, of anxiety, as though God doesn't exist, as though I never, ever read his holy word. That's how the devil wants us to react. I am to plunge myself in him and knowing him and the power of his resurrection, not as a scripture, as a doctrine, but to seek his face, to know him. Colossians 3. Do you believe, do I believe that I am raised with Christ? Colossians 3, chapter 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek. Seek on a Sunday morning, seek because I sometimes think about him. Seek those things which are above. Is my love for him like a fire in my heart that takes me to him in the morning, at night? Does the person I live with recognize that I'm doing that? Going to the closet, to be with him. Not as a lament, but as love. Seek those things of above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. Do it. You won't drift into holiness. Forget it. You and I, we don't drift into spiritual maturity. Forget it. Put my slippers on, sip it a cup of tea, say a few prayers, have a quiet time. Busy myself with good things, Christian things, necessary things. There's no drifting here. That fire is never to go out. To love him with all my mind, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Seek those things that are above. Seek. He's there. Am I risen? I heard someone say in that same sermon I just referred to, are lesser priorities winning in your life? Are lesser priorities crowding out the one thing needful? On Wednesday, when we were praying, it just came to me in the course of when I was praying, no more veil, not just no more veil, but nothing between. Mm. Nothing between. Mm. Romans 12, we know it so well. It's good to live by it, eat it, drink it daily. Verse 1, I beseech you, don't get numb to this. Don't get used to it. Let it be alive. Let it be fire in your belly, in your heart. I beseech you, brethren, by God's mercies, that you do it. Do it. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. The commitment of my heart, soul, mind, and thinking in its totality. So there's no more room for care, anxiety, worry, joylessness, lack of peace. There's no room because I've come to him. I'm coming to him. There's no grudge. There's no taking of offense. There's no trace of bitterness, sourness. Nothing between. No more veil because of what he's done. Nothing between in my heart because of what he's done. I like to challenge myself with the parable of the sower and the seed, four types of land. By God's grace, I trust I'm not there. The first type of ground, I trust I'm not there. With the second type of ground, the wayside, stony ground. But I challenge myself, David, how do you know you're not in the zone of type three? What chokes the word in my life, in your life, to make it unfruitful? The cares of this world. The Lord is very practical. He doesn't have to give a long, deep, complicated, extended sermon. The cares of this world, the pleasures of this world, and the riches of this world. Do I know before God I'm not there? Can I come to him? The fourth type of ground that brings forth abundantly. I'm not talking about introspection, oh dear, where am I? Has God done this? None of that. But I want to stir my heart. I don't want to become numb to the word of God, to the parable of the sower. Present your body a living sacrifice, ensuring that there's no other priority that's vying for first position and choking the word of God in my life to make me unfruitful. We can know wonderful times when we're together. Many years ago, I understood that the wonderful blessing that God grants us when we are together, like on a Sunday morning, when many times I feel, you know, we're in heaven. I, many years ago, learned that that has nothing to do with my spiritual condition, with my spiritual maturity at all. It's His grace when we're together. One preacher, when I was a child before I came to Exeter, he said, what we've got when we're together is what we've got when we're together. What you've got is what you've got at home when you're on your own. Praise God. Praise God. I believe that. What have I got when I'm on my own? In Ephesians 4, where I start, don't walk any longer in the vanity of your mind. Lean not unto your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. He goes on in Ephesians 4, that you put off concerning the former way of life, his thinking, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, you can now put on the new man, which according to God is created in righteousness and true holiness, being renewed in the spirit of our minds, incorporates that refreshing from God's spirit and presence to make us aware of who He is, what He's done, what He's brought us into. And it's like the clear, refreshing rain that just clears away the dust from our eyes. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't let other things influence you, but be filled with the Spirit of God, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We can't live this life otherwise. I'll finish now. In the same book of Ephesians, in chapter 1, it's on His heart that we, in this letter, that we should be brought in and bring ourselves there where Christ is. In chapter 1, he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that your eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We are to know this. You and I are to know this in our daily private walk with the Lord. Not to seek experience or feelings, but in coming to Him and presenting ourselves to Him, loving Him. The eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you might know all these things. What is the hope of His calling? What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he performed in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The power by which God the Father raised the Son is the power that he exercises towards you and me, and we are to know it, Paul says. Glory be to his wonderful name. In chapter 3, Paul prays again. We cannot live this life without the provision, the sustaining provision of the riches of God's glory. He prays that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. How is Christ to dwell in my heart by faith? I need to be renewed spiritually. Not born again spiritually, renewed spiritually. This needs to come from the riches. It needs, this empowering requires the riches of God's glory. It requires the might, the power of God's Spirit to quicken my inner man, that Christ might dwell in my and your heart by faith, that you and I, being rooted and grounded in love, might know the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all understanding, that you and I might be filled with all the fullness of God. We cannot live spiritually without feeding the inner man. I'd like to leave you with that thought. We cannot live spiritually without taking time to feed and sustain the inner man. My time is gone. Amen.